for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Next Saturday, this coming Saturday, it's our annual Mother's Day brunch. If you're a mama and you want to hang out with other mamas and get fed and get encouraged, there you go. Saturday, May 5th, 10 to 11:30 at the River. There will be child care provided. I'll be in the nursery this weekend, hanging with your kids. Please don't feed them starting Thursday so we don't have to change any diapers. But we'd love for you to join us right out here in the lobby, all mothers, for Mother's Day celebrating things. Now, speaking of moms, how many of you had a mama who made you eat vegetables that you just hated back in the day? Do you remember that? I mean, I could not stand when mom like gave me, I love broccoli now, but back in the day, I couldn't stand broccoli, and we'd always have broccoli, and so confession is good for the soul. How many of you, like me, when mom or dad wasn't looking, would take the broccoli and feed the dog? Anybody other than me? Oh, that's brave. You're confessing you're still young at home and mom's right there. You see, sometimes a parent has to do some things or make us do things that we just don't like doing, like eating our broccoli. I mean, as a kid, I thought you could live on like Fruity Pebbles and ice cream, and mom's like, no, you got to mix in some broccoli in there. Sometimes that which is good for us has to be forced upon us. Is that true? Like last week, when we had no chairs in the room. Now, I'll be honest, I was awkwardly uncomfortable. How many of you were uncomfortable last week when we didn't have chairs? Come on, raise your hand. Some of you are lying because I got some response on Facebook from some of you people. I mean, it's okay to say it was awkward. How many of you felt it was awkward last week? I'm telling you, that's fine to not want to eat your broccoli. But sometimes you got to eat it because sometimes we need things forced upon us that were good. We needed the reminder that our regularly scheduled religious routines need to be tweaked so that we don't get into a rut, forgetting that this is all about encountering Jesus, not doing regular religious routines. It's uncomfortable. We were uncomfortable last week when our regular religious routine kind of got turned upside down when all 900 chairs were out of here. Whew, it took a while to bring them back in. We did that on the heels of the teaching last week where Jesus cleared the temple, where Jesus himself had the religious routines of the people removed. And as uncomfortable as we were last week, the people in Jesus' day were much more uncomfortable, even more uncomfortable than we were last week when we walked in and looked around and said, where in the world am I going to sit? And so today we look at their response when their regular routine got removed. We're in John chapter 2, 18 through 25. The Jews responded to Jesus. This is right after he had cleared the temple and he made a whip and he was turning over things and he just went crazy getting rid of the religious routines that were regular. Now they were removed and they said to him, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? How dare you shake this up is what they were saying. How dare you remove our regular religious routines? I could feel their pain last week. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. Now, spoiler alert. We will learn very shortly that when Jesus says, destroy this temple, and it will be raised in 3 days, he wasn't talking about the temple. Quiz, what was he talking about? Himself, his body, right? But the people who were so upset that Jesus removed their regular religious routine, they missed a word from God because they were so disturbed that their usual activities on the Sabbath was disrupted. Now, aren't you glad that you've never been disrupted in your regular religious routine to the extent that you've missed a word from the Lord? Somebody say, praise the Lord, I'm not them. They missed a prophetic moment because they were disturbed that their regular routine was thrown upside down. They replied to Jesus, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days? Just so you know, if you're visiting today, that's our buddy Billy in the back. Billy has autism, and that's totally fine. I say that not for Billy or his mom's sake or my sake. I say that for some of y'all's sake who don't know what's going on. That's normal. Somebody say, that's normal. Somebody say, we love Billy. All right. They replied, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days. Here's that spoiler. But the temple he had spoken of was his body. They missed the message because they were more concerned about their Sabbath being interrupted. You see, the temple was supposed to be about God. But when God showed up, they missed it. Regular religious routines that were designed to bring them closer into the presence of God got in the way of them actually encountering God when God said, here I am. The removal of regular religious routines can throw us for a loop. So here's the deal. I'm going to just be honest. When I was going over this yesterday, I said to myself, I was standing right here looking across all these empty chairs, and I said, oh, God, I don't know if I want to say that. And he said, say it, because conviction is good for the soul. So I'm wondering, last week, how many of you were really disturbed? And were how many of you, some of you left. And some of you kind of sat with your arms crossed on the floor thinking, this is stupid. Some of you are good-natured about it, saying, oh, gosh, here we go again. What's going on at this crazy church? But I'm wondering if last week when you had your regular religious routine removed, I wonder if the reaction of your spirit on the inside kept you from getting a message from the King of Kings. And if it did, be of good cheer, because that's what Jesus is about bringing correction and forgiveness to the rough places on the inside. I'm wondering if we've missed a message because our focus was on the wrong thing. I wonder last week if you missed a message because your chair was gone. Now, their answer, it's taken 46 years, tells us that they weren't stupid. They had all kinds of knowledge. They had understanding about some things, and we know from the historical record that the restoration of the temple by Herod the Great, the temple that Jesus was in, it began in the year 20 BC. And so by the time we're here, it's 46 years later. So we can deduce that it's right around 26 AD when this was all happening. They had their facts down. They knew some things. I'm going to teach you a word that might shock you a little bit, so just be okay with this. The word is spermologist. It's not what you think it is. A spermologist is a collector of trivia. So spermology is the study of trivia. Trivia, by definition, I looked it up for you. It's the unimportant, it's the banal, it's the inconsequential, it's the minor. See, these guys right here who were responding to Jesus, they were religious spermologists. They had information. They knew some things, but it was minor. It didn't matter. It was unimportant. They were more concerned about collecting minor trivia than encountering the knowledge the King of Kings had for them. And woe to us if our faith is as such. They were so proud of their building. And they could quote facts about the temple. And we know from the historical record, because Herod the Great is known as the greatest architectural builder of his era and beyond. We knew this was a remarkable temple. They had right, in a way, to be proud of this, but their pride was put in the wrong thing. And they missed a move of the King. And I have to ask all of us the question, I wonder if we put the pride of our religious things in the wrong direction. I'm wondering if we're missing it. See, it was supposed to be about God. The temple was created to house the presence of God so that God's people could go in and encounter him. And yet they were annoyed when God showed up. They were annoyed when God showed up to his very own house. Because when God showed up in the form of Jesus, he turned the world upside down. He removed the regular religious routine. And they were annoyed. You see, their religious activity was more concerned about the rhythm and routine of everyday things as opposed to encountering the wild goose known as the Holy Spirit. Now, the temple was meant to be the center of worship for the Jews. But they took pride in the wrong things. Do you take pride in the wrong things? I mean, do you take pride in your bank account? Do you take pride in our new building? We've been here 3 years. Remember how that other one was falling apart and we're so proud to be in this building? Do you take pride in your worship team? They're awesome. Do you take pride in the bald tattooed pastor? I mean, do you take pride in things that are good things, but they're not the things that we're supposed to take pride in? I wonder if your pride and your excitement in your faith journey is found only in Jesus. Because we learn from these dudes that it's easy to get off track with the things of worship. And so what Jesus was saying when he compared himself to the temple, when he said, tear this temple down, it'll raise in 3 days, he's declaring that there's a new day. And the new day that Jesus himself is the temple. The temple is the source of God's presence for his people. Jesus is the new temple. Jesus is the source of people's interactions with the Almighty. The mediation between God and humanity no longer is in a physical space. It's in a man named Jesus Christ. He's the source of cleansing and wholeness and love. He is the source of life, no longer a building, but a man named Jesus. And he's declaring that to us throughout the centuries when he says to these people, tear the temple down and it will be rebuilt. Back to the text. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled. So this is a little bit down the road. After he had been raised from the dead, his disciples recalled that what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus has spoken. See, they had an aha moment long after the fact. Have you ever remembered something that wasn't important then, but today when you remember it, it's like, oh yeah. How many of you were in teenagers thought your parents were absolutely stupid? My kids sit over there, I'm not going to look that way. But as you get a little older, you realize, you know what, they actually weren't as dumb as I thought. See, there's something about storing in your head stuff you're not even knowing you're storing that comes back to bless you down the road. So that is to say, you might be getting a word today that will bless your faith tomorrow. You might be getting something on your faith journey today that doesn't mean anything to you today, but down the road, you're going to be like, oh, I get it. Because the Word of God never comes back empty. It might seem untimely today, no big deal, but I guarantee you, we see in this story that the Word of God never comes back empty. The Word of God is never wasted. The Word of God always brings fruitfulness. It just might be a little bit down the road. Somebody say amen to that. So you might get a word today that will build your faith in a few years. Now, while Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing, and they believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about humanity, for he knew what was in each person. Jesus knows that people are fickle. See, in the story, many had come for the show. They had heard of his miracles. They saw him flipping tables over, and they came to watch the show. And Jesus doesn't entrust himself fully to those who are just there for the show. He entrusts himself fully to those who entrust themselves to him fully. So I'm wondering, A, if he can focus. Billy's doing his thing. It's okay. I'm wondering why you come to church and why you have a journey of faith. Is it because you like the show of the things connected to Jesus? And it's not bad if you do. But that's the end of it. I wonder if you're missing the mark. Or do you come on a faith journey because you know you need the inner life transformation that only Jesus can offer? So the vision of the river is that we're a place for anybody to belong. Anybody. We don't care what you do, what you dress like, what you talk. It doesn't matter. So that you can believe in Jesus. so that you can become all God intended you to be. See, God has something in store for you, and it's something remarkable and amazing. And so we believe in belonging, believing, becoming. And I'm wondering how many of you stop after that first B. It's a nice place to belong, that river. And you guys do a remarkable job letting anybody belong. In fact, I got an email, I think I shared this before, I'll share it again, not so long ago. Somebody said, hey, I have a friend who recently got out of jail, and I know that they wouldn't be welcomed at my church, so I visited your church, brought my friend, now they have a church home, and I went back to my church. That's a good reputation for you to have. That you're a church that anybody can belong. And people know that. That's fantastic. But if we stop at the belonging, we're missing out on what Jesus wants. And I wonder how many of you stop after the second B. You belong and you believe in Jesus. You say, yeah, Jesus, I believe you are who you said you were, and I'll even give my life to you. I wonder if you stop there. If we stop there, we're not so unlike these people that Jesus didn't entrust himself to, because Jesus doesn't just want us to believe in him. He wants us to surrender to him that we might become all that he intended us to be. You see, an author, Max Lucado, once said, God loves you just the way you are. Somebody say amen to that. Somebody say amen like you really mean it. God loves you just the way you are. I mean, that's good news. And he loves you too much to leave you that way. Amen. You don't have to change one iota for God to love you. But because he loves you, he wants to grow you and set you free and give you more purpose and more significance than you've ever had. Hallelujah. But if we're like these people who just love him from afar and like the spectacle of the religion, Jesus is like, I'm not going to entrust myself to you. So you got to embrace that third B to become, and sometimes that requires a little bit of work. And sometimes for us to become what God intended us to be collectively as a church, we got to get the pews, the chairs out of here so that we realize it's not about sitting in the same spot doing the same thing every Sunday morning. It's about an encounter with the King of Kings. More. 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 More of him equals more for you. More proximity to him equals more freedom for you. More allowing him to run your religious activity equals more fruitfulness and joy for you. And more of him being in charge of your life means more awkwardness and uncomfortable moments. But more awkward and uncomfortable moments equals more of God's glory being moved through planet Earth, on planet Earth, through you. John chapter 2. Do you know what that means for next week? John chapter 3. After 3 months, we're moving into the third chapter. If you are a guest and you're here for the first time, so glad you came. So glad you came today and you have a chair to sit in. Right out there, there's a little welcome center. We got a gift for you. Just go grab that gift. You know, nothing attached, no strings attached, no pressure. Just go grab the gift. We got a little thing we want to bless you with. So do that. If you're a follower of Christ, now here's the deal. When I say if you're a follower of Christ and this is your church home, don't forget your joy boxes. Some of you remember to say heart. Here's why we do that, because we believe that giving of your tithes and your offerings back to God, which goes in those metal boxes that we call joy boxes, it should not be done out of compulsion or guilt, right? I don't know how many of you grew up in churches where they had passed the offering plate time and time again until they got what they thought they needed. If you don't feel like giving at the river, what do? You don't give. That's fine. Rather, giving should be out of the joy of your heart because you're thankful for what God's doing in the moment, and sometimes you don't feel like giving, and that's totally fine. That's why we say, if you're a follower of Christ and this is your church home, don't forget your joy boxes, and you all say heart. Let's try it again. If you're a follower of Christ and this is your church home, don't forget your joy boxes. There you go. Thank you very much. And our prayer team will be right up here. They would love to pray for you for whatever need you have. Have a good week. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.